advised on that, because we also will not have much time with the TG and the minister, who are quite aware of their other responsibilities with regard to Pakisa and the meeting with the president. If members can then agree with us that item 2 in the agenda, the adoption of our third-term program, if we can deal with it on Thursday. The same would apply to item 3 as well. These are issues that we can deal with internally as a committee, so that the sooner we have a wonderful representation of MPs, we start with the DRRR process. We start with the minister so that she gave us an overview. And thereafter, we will then take an input from the Office of the Auditor General before we get presentations from the department. So that's what we are proposing in terms of amending the agenda that is before you. Would this be acceptable to members? Yes, Honourable Sam.
Thank you, Chair. Very loud. That's acceptable, and I just want to say thank you very, very much for the agenda. It's the first of its kind, and it's very, very helpful. So well done, and thank you to our secretary.
Okay. I think then that's how we'll handle it. I think we're just waiting for one or two members who were pulling out of the other portfolio committee that is supposed to be meeting with the Auditor General. Now they should have made their own arrangements like we made ours on our own day, not on a day of another portfolio committee. It's not helpful, it's not assisting us to carry forward with our job. So we'll just give them a few minutes before we get started. Then again, thank you very much for your understanding. Let's welcome all of you colleagues, and again, we don't know what happened to the portfolio committee on water and sanitation. They normally meet on Wednesdays, so Wednesday is their allocated day. For some strange reason, they were supposed to meet today with the Auditor General, and that affected us badly. And we hope that this will not happen. We will obviously take the matter to the relevant authorities so that we are not inconvenienced in the manner we have been inconvenienced. Just to further inform members who might not have been here when we made certain propositions on the agenda item, we would like to postpone agenda item number 2 and agenda item number 3 to Thursday or whenever time we meet, so that we concentrate on the business at hand. And the business at hand is the DRRR process. Before you came in, all members had agreed that we zoom into the DRRR process, and I hope that you will not have any difficulties with that. Having said that, colleagues, the DRRR process gives us an opportunity to see what the performance of the department and its entities has been in the past financial year, so that we are all conversant whether the department and entities that report to the department were able to use all resources allocated to them efficiently and in the interest of our people. So that's what this process is about. But secondly, because as Parliament we have a possibility to influence the budgetary process going forward. We can then learn from how the department used these resources in the past financial year and arrive at conclusions whether they had enough resources to undertake their work. And then make recommendations that go all the way to Treasury. That's how, as Parliament, we can then influence how Treasury does allocations to departments. But whatever we make in this regard should be proven by facts, and we must be very clear in our report that this is necessary to do. If we make any recommendations of a financial nature in our report that will be emanating from this process. But from where we are sitting, colleagues, we will have an opportunity, because we have not had that any opportunity to interact with the department on what they had planned to achieve last year, what they had planned to achieve, and whether they will be able to achieve what was included in their strategic plans. Of course, we also are very fortunate that we also have in our midst the Auditor General's office that have also looked through these areas of work by the department. They have then been able to audit the department on its performance vis-à-vis strategic plans, but secondly, on how the department has used its allocated financial resources towards this purpose. Not only the department, but all the entities that also report to the department. This is then the exercise that we'll be looking at as members of parliament. We have a duty, and an important duty, to oversight the performance of all departments and their entities. And in my view, this is one of those most critical areas of our work as parliament. And it is through this work that we see whether departments are able to deliver to our people, whether departments are able, within the constraints of our finances, whether departments are able to change the lives of our people for the better. In our case, whether the relevant department, Department of Environmental Affairs, is able to use in a sustainable manner the resources we have for the benefit of our people. So, at the end of the day, if we are able to answer those questions in the positive, we'll then be able, as the portfolio committee, to say, yes, the department is able to do this, but will have been assisted by the technical work that has been done by the Auditor General's office. That is work that will be seized with in this whole week. For colleagues whom I know that we have not presented to you the third term committee program, but very important in that third term committee program is interaction with the department and its entities on work that they have done in the past financial year. So today we'll be busy with that as Tuesday. We have also asked, by the way, that we be allowed to continue this work on Thursday. Now, we know that parties normally have their caucuses on Thursday. But we just hope, because there are also timelines within which we need to conclude this exercise. If I'm not mistaken, we should be concluding it by the 24th of October. This whole BRRR process, by the 24th of October, we must be done. Then we must have produced a report to Parliament on what our findings and our conclusions are on the performance of the department and adherence to Treasury regulations or on their financial matters. That's why then, because we have these tight timelines, we have today, we have Thursday, we have next Tuesday, where by next Tuesday then we are ready to conclude, including our report, so that our report then goes to the relevant authorities. So basically that's the process of the DRRR. If members want to comment on that, indeed the board is in your court. Honourable members are not.
Thank you, sir. I just want to get clarity. Our notice of meeting for Thursday indicates a start time of 9:30. This program indicates start time of 2:00. So just to ensure that there's no misunderstanding, I have already, on the basis of that notice, submitted an apology to my caucus that I will be attending this meeting from 9:30. So I just need to make the necessary and for the benefit of the committee. Thank you, sir.
No, you're a very correct member. We have inquired from the various caucuses, and we will be briefing members before end of day today on exactly what the starting time is on Thursday. We'll be much happier if our starting time can remain 9:30. And this is what we're pushing for with all other caucuses, because there's still a lot of work to do. In fact, even today, we'll just give you the department and one entity. There'll be other entities that we'll have to interact with, apart from other ways that we also have to do our own, ourselves. So we are in agreement with the member. We will try to push to start at 9:30 and be able to convince all our caucuses that please allow us to do our work. So broadly, colleagues, we have today, Tuesday, we have Thursday, we have next Tuesday, where we are then supposed to conclude on this matter and finalize our recommendations to Parliament, and of course then put our final report on the parliamentary ATC. That is the timelines we have. Unfortunately, it's not only us, it's also all other committees. That's why we're not happy, Honourable Member Maluleka, when another committee called another meeting on our day. So we hope it will not happen again, because we will not call any portfolio committee meeting on a day of another committee, because it just messes up our work. Having said that, we welcome all of you. I've also been told that the minister had to rush to some other engagement and should be joining us in due course. But DG, we can't wait. We will start with the proceedings, and if there is any broad overview that you like to make, we will then give you that opportunity before we hand over to the, that will not be presentations. If there is any broad thrust of the work that you'd like to speak to you then, before we allow the Auditor General to speak to their auditing process. Did you?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, honourable members. I will make my comments, Chair, when I talk to the DRR in a report. So at this point in time, I can just confirm that we have been in active engagement with the Auditor General's office. The minister has been presented with a report on the outcome of the audit for the last financial year, and basically we are then implementing some of the recommendations that emanate from the audit findings. So at this point in time, I would not want to preempt AG's presentation, and I will talk to the department's performance, both financial and also non-financial performance, definitely after the AG's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm informed that the only place that can be able to show us the telescope is this one, behind me. Therefore, it means I must move from here and join the masses. can we now, on that note, give hand over to the office of the Auditor General to take us through their findings when auditing the department? And I think one entity, because we're dealing with two today, the department and the South African Weather Service, if it's possible. But if you can't, if you must give us the overall, by all means, that is your choice. But if it's possible to give us just the department and South African Weather Service, which is what we are going to deal with today, will be the case. But the ball is in the court, and we are not in any way prevented from doing what you do best. And thank you very much.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, DG, CEOs, and esteemed others. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for handing over and for giving us this opportunity to present the outcome for the environmental affairs portfolio. If you can please just take note that the slides that you may have on your screen have been amended. We removed some slides at the end due to the fact that we did have a presentation the last time I was here on capacity building. Then also, we enhanced some of the slides, so if you can follow, as the Honorable Chairperson has said, on the movie screen, all of it will be there. In terms of the first slide, as we already passed, but it's fine. It's the outcomes of the environmental affairs portfolio. And yes, of course, today is the 14th October. And it's PFMA 2013-40. I think we're moving a bit fast. slide back. Okay. Our adaptation promise. In terms of this slide, the Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate, we all know that, Section 188. And as a Supreme Court institution of South Africa, and so too do other countries have Supreme Court institutions, it exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector, the auditing, thereby building public confidence. As is reflected in our mission statement, we exist in order to support the committee in their oversight. The annual reports of national departments, public entities, tabled every year are very powerful accountability instruments, and the reports of the Auditor General contain that it is an important departure point when assessing the performance of departments and entities. I must point out that the audit report should never be read in isolation. It is read together with the rest of the annual report, specifically the chapter on program performance information, and of course, the financial statements. The story of our report tells the leader is always supplemented by the bigger story being told in the whole of the annual report. Moving on to the purpose of the presentation, is to provide members of Parliament with necessary information, guidance on audit outcomes for the portfolio of environmental affairs, to enable the portfolio committee to effectively execute their oversight function. And I've just listed the items that are contained in the presentation. The audit outcomes, the drivers of internal controls, root causes, assurances provided by key role players, key recommendations. If we can move to the next slide. And Honorable Chairperson, yes, I am doing the entire portfolio. In terms of this slide, it's giving the audit opinion for 3 years. I'm going to focus on 12, 13, and 13, 14. And the first point being that, similarly so, being green, if you look on the right hand side, you'll find define endangered. He said, green means unqualified with no violence. And that's the place that we all want to be. The yellow reflects unqualified with violence. The purple, the red, the blue is qualifications, adverse, and orders of standing. In terms of Job 13 verses 13 14, Isimon the Risho was unqualified with no findings remained. And if I make that 11 12 there, it came from unqualified with no findings, so for the years. Then if we look at on the 12 13 on the top now, you look at Sandbox, it regressed to unqualified with findings. And I'll get on that in more detail in the next slide. Also, I'd just like to mention at this point that we did provide you with a briefing notes. The briefing note is the detailed document. Okay. Then we go on to DIA. DIA improved from unqualified word methods to unqualified with no bias from 12:13 to 13:14. The main issue here that had them in the yellow last year, or the break of the previous financial year, was material amendments to the financial statements. So it goes without saying that they solved that. They solved the material amendments to the financial statements. We did do an audit, an interim audit, in terms of which we elected some issues, but that was resolved. And I must say thank you very much to the DG, was quite involved, and then the finance unit. We look at Sandy. Sandy was unqualified with finance in 12:30 and improved to unqualified with no finance. And just like here, I think they had the same issue. That was the material amendment which they resolved. Now moving on to source. Source you'll find is unqualified with findings in 12:13. And in 13:14, they still unqualified with fines. In 12:13, SOAS had the same issue like GRFNB, material events. And they were able to resolve it. Now you're going to wonder why it's still sitting in yellow. That's because they got different non-compliance. So the opinion is unchanged. And then I'm going to go back to one that I didn't go into any detail. Let me say once. Sandbox regressed on a few issues. There was non-compliance and there was performance information, which we will go into in the forthcoming slides. We can move over to the next slide. Now, just to get an understanding of how this slide operates, if you look at the vertical, you've got the audit outcome. So you've got a green, unqualified with no fines, unqualified with fines, qualified with fines, adverse audit claim. Then on the horizontal, you've got it either improved, it either unchanged, regressed, and yes, there's no standing. Right. Furthermore, if you look at source, it's sitting in a yellow color. That's prison. Sandbox is sitting in green. I don't know if anybody is confused at this point, but I am going to clear that up. So this yellow, unqualified with findings. That means it moved from unqualified with findings, still remains unqualified with findings, therefore the yellow. Now you take Sandbox. It's in green. It's under the column that says regress. So if you go back to the previous slide, you see all the movement and I explain all the movements. Sandbox is green because it came from the green. So it came from unqualified with no findings and regressed to unqualified with findings. If you look at Isimon and Risho, they were green, they remain green. Therefore the font color is green. If you look at DR and Sandy, they both improved. They came from a yellow, unqualified, word fine, and they moved the unapproved column and the ordered outcome is unqualified with no fine. That's how this this diagram works. Okay. Let me move on to the next slide. This is a 3-year trend, but this is specifically to the financial statement. So don't get confused. We went through the outcomes. I'm going to break down by breaking down the outcomes into the financial statements part, the predetermined objectives part, and the compliance part. And for the manager to hear in the session that I was here previously, in the capacity building, we did go at length into how the financial statement, how the audit report, how it works. It's important to say that all 5 audit teams, that being the department and its 4 entities, do not have any qualifications for 3 years. That's all that this slide depicts. We can then move on to the next slide. However, so from the previous slide to now, I put a comma in between. I say, however, Sandbox avoided the qualification by making the material amendments to the financial statements. And as the Audit General, yes, I did give them a chance to make those amendments to the financial statements. Why did I do that? For the bigger picture. Because firstly, I wanted them to learn which figures should be changed and to what and why. Secondly, I think coming to the next financial year, the set that they give us on the 31st of May should be a set that is accurate. And we'll go later into the root causes and the recommendations that we've made so that they can improve for it out. We can move on over to the next slide. That is your quality of your annual performance reports, which we refer to as the audit of predetermined objectives, the abbreviation IOPO. Okay. If we look at this slide, 2012-13, there were no problems with predetermined objectives. All that right. In 13-14, Sandbox regressed. And in terms of the reliability criteria, we were not satisfied with the validity, accuracy, and completeness of objectives 4, 5, 7, and 9, and that you will see the details in the briefing document. Source in this picture, although sitting in the green, if you look into the briefing document, they did make material amendments. However, it did not affect the opinion. So, if you look at some of our recommendations, and if you go into our drivers, you'll find that we refer to training for them in terms of pre-term objectives. We'll reflect on the vacancy that's sitting in Sandbox in terms of the CFO, the CEO. The vacancy that was in source, that being the supply chain management senior manager, which is now full, as I believe. The CFO position is also full. And I must say at this point that in terms of that, yes, the CFO is doing a good job. I was very impressed at how she took the helm. And I say this because she started very late in the picture. And yet, there was no material amendment to the financials. She kept close contact with the AG. We always keep a close contact with the CEO. And so too did we with South African National Parks. We also keep close contact with the DD, the department. And those interactions are very important. Because without that leadership intervention, we sometimes struggle to move the audit outcome. Then moving on to the next slide. Okay. Again, 12:13 verses 13-14. 12:13. Yeah, included. I'm now repeating now. This material amendment is a non-compliance. Why is a non-compliance? Because the statement we get on the 31st of May should be a statement that is free of material amendments. Why is it that way? Should be relying on the Attorney General to find errors and then to correct the final statements. Because what then happens is the Attorney General is becoming a consultant. And the Attorney General is supposed to be independent. You have your CFO, you have all your finance team. Financial statements should speak for themselves. We should just be auditing them, there shouldn't be any amendments. Then we go on to, okay, now this is now a repetition because it's material amendments again of MBU which they resolve. So we're going to go later into what was the issue on the non compliance. 10 parts is so clean, or shall I say, worth no findings and remainder such from 12:13 to 13:14. The next slide. Okay, I'm going to hand over to my colleague who says he's going to continue from here. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, TG, CEOs, esteemed others. In terms of the slide on levels of internal control, I'm just going to highlight here where intervention or immediate action is required in order to strengthen the controls of the department or the entity. If we look under human resource controls or the financial statements, there's a one that's written in the left there. This relates to the filling of the CEO and the CFO post at Cenparks, which we think it should be filled immediately. In terms of ICT governance and controls, here we're talking about major findings in terms of IT weaknesses that was identified at Cenparks. If we go down to proper record keeping under performance reports, the red there is in terms of lack of adequate documentation in terms of predetermined objectives or performance information as well as to the national park as well. That covers all the reds in terms of the slide. Can we move over? Here we're talking about the root causes in terms of instability and vacancies in key positions. The first one, we are highlighting the CEO and the CFO post vacancy in Sandparks. And the supply chain manager, the senior manager of supply chain management at South African Weather Service, which we believe is now built. The second part there, in terms of appropriate competencies, in terms of predetermined objectives, here we are just highlighting that training should be done in order for employees to improve the competency of review of the annual performance reports. Can you move to the next slide? Insurance providers, here we say, okay, in terms of senior management, we actually indicating that senior management should be approved at the level of CEO and senior management at South African Weather Service and South African National Parks. We also indicating that in the last year we met with the minister twice and this actually helped to improve the audit outcomes of DIA as well as SANDI. And furthermore, we think that the assurance that is provided through the portfolio committee should also be maintained. If we move on to the next slide, we can, that actually speaks on the previous slide, so we can just move on here. Okay, in terms of process and wasteful expenditure, 26 million on fruitless and wasteful expenditure was identified by the department. And this expenditure related to transfer payments, of which we're saying were not adequately monitored when the transfer was made. Although this transfer was relating to many years back, the investigation was only done in the year 12-13, and to this date, it was 26 million then that was identified and was not recovered at the time of the audit's conclusion of the audit. Therefore, there was an amount of 26 million then reflected in the financial statements as fruitless and wasteful. Exemption by the department. During the 13-14 financial year, National Treasury has exempted the department from applying the modified cash standard in respect of infrastructure development projects. The department was recommended to meet with Treasury to resolve the matter. In terms of the exemption, if I have to go into detail, we think that the necessary budget should have actually been amended in terms of the adjustment budget. And if this was not done, then the matter should be resolved with National Treasury immediately. However, we are aware that the department is making the ATM to meet the Treasury. You go to the next slide. Okay, in terms of the four key recommendations, the first one, SAMPAC should pull the vacancy on CFO position. The second one, management at SOAS and SAMPAC should regularly attend training to adequately review the annual performance reports. In terms of the next one, management at SAMPAC should attend regular updates of the generally recognized accounting practices grant. In terms of the fourth one, the department should resolve the exemption of National Treasury. And move over. We met with the minister when discussing the audit outcomes of the portfolio. Indicate the minister to commit to have CEO and CFO position as 10 past filled before the 31st of October 2014. Thank you. That concludes our presentation. If you take any questions.
Any questions of clarity, because if there are questions of detail, that detail will then have to be covered by the department as they make their own presentations on the findings of the Office of the Auditor General. Members, any questions of clarity from the side? Yenokian, Mefos Farmer, or Major Flo of Morocco?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to get clarity on this 26 million rand Fruitless and West alleged. Because at the time of your audit, you could not find the services that had been rendered to that amount. There had been that expenditure, but there wasn't the necessary invoices or goods per se. I just want to get more clarity on that. I took a photograph of what you said. I just want to get you say that it was not adequately monitored. So what expectation, what would you have liked to see for that 26 million rand for you to be satisfied that it had been? Are you talking invoices? Are you talking goods? Are you talking, and what do you mean in terms of monitoring? I'm not an accountant or with a financial background, so just a clarity, what would you have liked to see there? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I would like to pose a question on quality of submitted financial statements by SAMPAC. That material misstatement may be corrected by the department in order to avoid qualification. I'm asking this question so that when we go to interact with the source, we know where they need to do the improvement.
Okay. Any other question of clarity? Members from the Auditor General's Office.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the first one, the 26 million rand of Fruitless and Wasteful, this emanated from an investigation that was actually came about whereby the department said Deloitte, they were projects that was not completed, and therefore Deloitte had to go further into these projects to see why they were not completed, why there was no closing off certificates, and exactly what still needed to be done. And these, the money that was paid to the necessary suppliers or implementers, for example, if a project costs 14 million, 40 million, then would have been paid to a supplier. However, for certain reason, there was no closing of certificate for the claim to the department. And when it went into the project, it indicated that 26 million rand for this project, they could not identify to why they were not actually closed off, whether there was adequate work that was done for 26 million rand. Hence, the department had to go back. They had to make the necessary follow-up, make necessary investigation to further identify whether there were adequate services that was rendered for the 26 million rand. And at the time of the conclusion of the audit, the department could not identify where services were given for the 26 million rand by the necessary implementers. Therefore, until the investigation is completed, it remains a fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Thank you, sir. Just to follow up, I just want to find out for which particular program was that? Thank you. Sorry, just to clarify, in terms of was it in Sandparks, was it Soars, was it...
Yeah, the department.
The department?
Yeah.
Okay, and was it under Oceans and Coasts, Air Quality, Climate Change, Environmental Programs, Biodiversity Conservation, Air Quality, Climate Control, or Administration?
It's under Program 6, it would be Program 6, Environmental Program.
Thank you, sir. I have a big interest in the in this discussion. I'm not sure I understand what happened with 26 million, quite frankly, and if consequences, if there are any, what those be, so that they're able to avoid this sort of thing. So it would be good to get a bit more information.
Well, I think we have been pointed at the direction of where that 26 million fruitless expenditure occurred. And I think as we interact with the department, I agree with you, remember, they will then have to, because at the time when the Auditor General closed its books, the department had not come back to them. Now they must come back to us. I think we're on the same wavelength. The other issue is what was asked by Member Hadebe. Do you still have this question?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. In terms of the quality of the financial statements at Sandparks, I'm just going to reflect quickly on a few material amendments that were made. I don't know if I'm in line with the Honorable Member's question, but I'll go with it. The financial instruments, now I'm being technical again and apologize. The disclosure was in error. It wasn't in terms of GRAP, general recognized money practice. The post-retirement benefits note to the financials, also the disclosure wasn't in accordance. Then if you look at the operating leases note, when the court general went into the supporting documentation, there was that supporting documentation was evidence for a different figure. So the public entity had to amend it. And I'll go on another example as well. In terms of the cash flow statement, it wasn't accurate. Does the member want me to get some more?
Just a follow up to that, Chair. What you are saying is that there is, like what you said, you are mentioning the supporting document was pointing to something else, which means the information that was passed to you was inaccurate and was not useful either way.
Thank you, remember. I think I go back up to the 31st of May of every year. The department is compiling or drafting a set of financial statements. In order to draft your financial statements, you need to say, okay, operating leases, here is the supporting documentation, which went through all the rigorous processes. Here's what the Jarin, I talked about just now. There's a finance unit headed by CFO, which is very good. You need to make sure that all disclosure is absolutely in accordance with the standards. And again, I say that generally recognized accounting practice. Thank you.
Do you want to come in at this stage? Do you want to come at this stage?
No, I want
to. I'm trying to assist you.
I just wanted to give more love to the 26 million, just to make it easier for the DG to proceed when he comes back.
No, that's why I want to assist you. You see, that the Auditor General's office said that 26 million fruit expenditure, indeed, we have also read the documents. Don't worry about that. We'll come to that. Because you are not on the floor now. It's the office of the Auditor General that is assisting us to unmask what might have gone wrong. You will have your own opportunity. I don't want you to contradict yourself when we come to that issue. So that's just hold the horses for now. But I think the long and short of it is that in the statement that were provided by some parts could not make any auditing sense. Yes.
What I wanted to hear from the Office of the Auditor General is that there is a lack of skill in the entity. That's what I was trying to find out exactly from his mouth. Thanks very much, Mr. Chair. Just clarify the issue.
But of course, the Office of the Auditor General also says from where they are seated why there were these misstatements was because there are certain positions that were not filled. And those positions, amongst others, is the position of the CFO and the position of the CEO. So that's what, and there are certain commitments that we make. We must follow those commitments with the department. Because why there were these serious material findings, the Auditor General says those findings were because there were no expertise that were able to give proper accounting at that point in time. So they pointed out that some direction in relation to some parts, but also in relation to source. But they also said that, of course, source was able to deal with the positions quickly, and indeed there was a good turnaround with regard. Even some mistakes that could have been provided by source, they were able to correct that in no time. Is that correct?
This respond. I think it was in terms of the CFO post where last year they had material amendments to the AFS, which led them to their own book line. This year they had none on the financial statements. Yes.
Last question, sir. I got some of my answers in our last session, in our last meeting of the last session, but just for the benefit of the rest of the committee, perhaps the Auditor General can explain with regards to the exemption that National Treasury provided for non-compliance with the minimum cash standard. Perhaps the AG can just elaborate on the significance and describe what such an exemption entails for the benefit of the committee, because the department will be interrogated on that as well, and it will allow members to contribute.
I think it's a fair issue of clarity for the entire committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. In terms of the exemption, the department must comply with a modified cash standard in all respects. If the department has not applied any statement of the modified cash standard, the request is to grant them an exemption for whatever reason possible. And here the reason came about whereby Treasury approved the budget of the department, yet there was a problem on budget. So they needed to go back in terms of the finding, in terms of they look at how big the funding was, whether the department can make changes at that point in time, how many changes needs to be done to the financial statements and the impact. So Treasury, as we went into it, looked at all the necessary changes and what was the reason for the department not complying with modified stress test and granted them this exemption. They however granted the exemption once and indicated to them that it should be fixed up going forward. And the SED, well, it is a difficult process to get an exemption, and I can't comment on whether an exemption will be given again. Most likely not. And if I get further going towards the exemption, yeah, was actually from transfer payments that was budgeted incorrectly. And the transfer payments should have actually been what we indicated the transfer payment should be budgeted for capital expenditure. Because the department actually makes transfers to respectable, they make transfers for infrastructure development. In terms of implementers, when the implementers record a work in progress and record the assets, however, in terms of the work in progress, we indicate that it should be included in books of the department. And they transferred over in terms of Section 42 of the PFMA to the necessary third party. And at the point in time when the audit was concluded, the National Treasury had actually indicated that they agree with the Auditor General, and therefore it is in line what we said with the modified gas standard, and therefore they granted them the exemption on that basis. Thank you.
I think we have been able to get whatever issues of clarity from the Office of the Auditor General. Perhaps now we must get to the nearer to the meat so that we hear from the horse's mouth. Here are these findings from the Office of the Auditor General. Of course, the findings nonetheless still show that there were improvements in a number of departments, in the department itself, and also in a number of entities, say one or two, that we will have to really get what are the corrective measures, and if we come close. But I think from where we are sitting again, the Auditor General speaks to the performance of the department vis-a-vis its own plans. And to me, those plans will still do service to our people. Because if we don't act in accordance with those plans and give this credible service to our people, we then don't even need to be in government. Because this is what is more important to us as members of parliament. If we get value for these monies that were allocated and were they used in accordance with your strategic plans last year, did you stick to those plans at the end of the year? Can we account that yes, we did stick to the plans and this is how our people benefited as we ensured that the environment they live in is not harmful to them? Can we get that confidence from yourselves now? Now, I don't know, DG, who does the reporting on this process. Can we hand over to you so that we start with the department itself? Thanks.
Before we start, and then I will add to things. Thanks, DG. Yes, so then I thought it was still the matter raised by the AG. Let me then quickly, firstly, talk to the DRR report of 2013. The chair asked that we give an update on what has been done in respect of the recommendations of the previous DRR. So I would like to refer you to the document. I'm assuming members, a lot of members have the copy of the document, budget review of the recommendation report of the portfolio committee.
Yes, for members, so that we are all on the same page. You have a document with yourselves, a report of the committee, the last DRR, DRRR report. So before we even get into this year's DRRR, we had alerted the department to this report and wanted to know how far has the implementation gone of the recommendations that are in this report. I think we would just go straight to the conclusions and recommendations. What page is that?
It's page 21.
Page 21.
So from page 1 up to 20, or top of page 1, it's just the report itself. And then on conclusions and recommendations, that's paragraph 5. Honorable members, the committee just reemphasized the concern about what seems to be the inadequate resourcing of the department as per the report that was compiled on the strategic plan hearings. There was a request to the Treasury for unforeseen and unavoidable that was associated with emergency evacuation from Marion Island. Basically, there was somebody that was sick, ill, and passed on, and therefore we needed to have a special trip because our vessels go on the basis of scheduled voyages to the island, both Marion Island and Antarctica Islands. So we needed to be then given money because that's something that we could not plan for. It was unavoidable. That was not granted. And secondly, we had also presented a submission to the Treasury for both research vessels, ETA Agalash 2 and the Algoa, in respect of operational costs that are linked to the fuel and food. When honorable members, when the ship leaves the dock at the waterfront to Marion Islands, we pack multiples of food and also we fill it up with fuel, and the costs have been rising both in terms of fuel and food in the last financial year or the financial year before the last and even recently. And we usually making those submission to the Treasury to get them a provisioning for that which you refer to as also unavoidable. So all of those were not granted. Basically, it meant then that the department needed to find money to finance these shortfalls from an already stretched budget line. Secondly, honorable members, there was then the cut of 100 million on the EPWC program on the working on fire and as well as the weather services. The working on fire program, the president revised the cut. So that is what I can report, that in the end, that 100 million was not cut. However, the weather services one was still then the amount that was cut in the department on the other operational savings. Then the other point that's raised in the DRR recommendations was in the aspect of the Green Fund. There was no allocation for 2014-15 financial year, in spite of the commitments that we were having, calling that the program, the Green Fund program started in earnest in 2013, started 2012, 2015, 13, 14, so it's multiple year, and then the 2014 had no allocation. We then approached Treasury and they rescheduled the 500 million allocation in that outer year and put 250 million for 2014-15 and then 250 million for the year 2015-16. So in essence, in terms of that recommendation, there has then been a provisioning for 2014-15 for the green fund. The other areas that were not funded after we made the submission to the Treasury on waste management and rendering of waste services, the resourcing of the required systems and capacity for the Department of Environmental Affairs system that would interface between the DMR and water affairs permitting system, and that we have had to reprioritize from the budgets that are allocated to the department, because this is a pressure area that has been, that the minister and cabinet have pronounced on, and basically we have had to reprioritize to then finance that. We did not receive those funds. Similarly, we did not receive the funding for marine research and conservation, and then the Sand Park Indigenous Forest Management, 20 million. I think in the end, there was shifting of money from forestry under DAF. Remember, honourable members, the Southern Cape forests, when you drive from George to Tsikama, they used to be state forests and as well as the national parks or the protected area. So that forest area, we have consolidated it, and there was a cabinet decision that approved that the then water affairs and forestry, which is the forest component, was to then transfer the forest, the indigenous forest, to the Department of Environmental Affairs and for the custodianship of South African National Parks. That also meant that some of the funds that were linked to the operations, especially for staffing, needed to follow with that transfer. So there has been a back and forth process over the 3 years with all those funds coming to the department for us to pass on to SANPAS. And then last financial year, then those funds were then transferred from DAF to SANPAS, or to the department for us to pass them to SANPAS. And then the other aspect, one, SANPAS had, in respect of money owing to municipalities on municipal rates, they indicated that they needed about 80 million in order for them to be able to meet their debt of about 300 million. Honorable members, our protected areas, all in fact are national entities. They provide services for themselves. They provide waste services, water services, and so on. They don't rely on municipalities. And because of that, they have not been paying taxes to the municipalities. However, it is recognized that it's an important matter that the department needed to take up with Treasury as well as the Department of Cooperative Governance, so that there is an exemption, formal legal exemption for SANPAS in respect of payment of those rates and taxes. The minister had approached the then Minister of Finance in the last financial year about the matter, and it has not been settled. And also, she had raised it with the Minister of DCOC. The minister now is following up as part of her engagements with the Minister of Cooperative Governance, fortunately, which was the previous Minister of Finance, in understanding the matter. So it has not been cleared yet. SANPAS still owes rates and taxes to municipalities. And you may appreciate that this is an area of concern in government currently that is receiving attention, and public banks and a few other and Department of Cooperative Governance and Treasury are working on a solution towards making sure that government, where we own the local government sphere, the national sphere, we then try and deal with those, and the issue of SANPAS is part of that element. So this is what I can say, work in progress in the engagements with COOPTA. If there is going to be a waiver, if not, we'll still have to find money, and SANPAS will have to reprioritize within its own budget to pay for this debt. Then the other matters that were raised, honorable members, by the previous portfolio committee on the BRR related to the expansion of the conservation estate, which did not receive further funding, waste services, infrastructure. I spoke about provisioning of waste, but now there is also the infrastructure component of it, which did not receive the requisite finances. We had requested 125 million for that, and I have already indicated that ocean research program, we had made a request of 182 million, which also was not available. On the regulatory monitoring enforcement systems and building of capacity and support of two provinces in terms of the biodiversity management, we did not receive funds, but we received funds in respect of the wildlife and information management. So we were allocated the 343 million, which also is what we transferred to CEMPACS to beef up the fight against rhino poaching. I think those are the main issues that I thought I could give then a progress and update honourable members. But I think the key that I saw then in the context of you having asked that we give an update to how we dealt or what has happened with the recommendations that were made previously. Clearly the department is still not well funded, but the financial situation is not improving. The minister would have probably in her opening remarks also spoken to the fact that we have now received another budget cut for compensation of employees for next year. We received correspondence that we'll have a deduction of 14.5 million and then for 2016-17 15.3 million. And then on operations that cover all the aspects of operations, travel, use of consultants and bursaries, training and development and so on. We cut 32.266 million next year and then 91.96 million in 2016-17. So the public STs will get a cut of 35.9 million out of that. Those cuts also, which is about 36 million. So we are going to have, the question is how it is going to be implemented. We're still engaging treasury. So we were then making the point that maybe they will have to not apply undercut on weather services because of the 20 million that is already being cut. But remember, these cuts are above what we were cut on. I think, Veronica, if you have the slide on how much we cut on operations last year as a department, just the amount. So we had a cut last year of 1%, 3%, and it's 1, 2, 3, and then now we have the additional amounts that are just dated from the letter that I received from the National Treasury. So we have to cut further, and it has got, I don't know what implications. The minister was also just receiving that letter yesterday from that report from the department, and we are still going to be engaging with the National Treasury, and it has implications for how we implement the strategic plan that has already been appropriated by Parliament as of now. So I'd like to then hand over to CFO to then continue, and he will also then make reference to some of the matters that were raised by the Auditor General. Thank you very much.
Before this CFO comes in, may we welcome the Minister. We were informed, Minister, that he had to rush to some engagement somewhere. So you are most welcome. We have already started. Yeah. Well, the reason why we started where we started, Minister and DG, at times we wouldn't like to just produce reports for the sake of producing reports. That's why we wanted to get a sense of how far has the implementation of the last committee recommendation, how far have they gone within what you are capable of doing, of course. Because some of the issues that are raised in the report are matters that relate to the financial press in the main. And so you might not have any control over those issues. But all we wanted to know is whether did you make any follow-ups as the department with the relevant institutions. And the thanks to you that at least you have been able to respond to these matters. Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, TG. The presentation outline is going to be talking about the expenditure per program, the economic classification of how we spend the funds of 2013-14, transfers to public agencies, expanded public works program transfers, and page where I will also respond to the Auditor General in my life, request on clarity with how we are dealing with National Treasury on this transfer. Then donor funding and then 30-day payment report. I think the Auditor General has already covered, so I'll never repeat what the Auditor General has said. The expenditure for 2013-14 for the department was 99.9%. We had to control it very tightly because, as I was saying, for the last 3 years, the budget of the department has always been cut with 1%, 2%, 3% in the outer years. So we're having a rolling MTF where the budget is cut continuously. So that's why somewhere, like, if you look at climate change, biodiversity, environmental progress, the expenditure is about around 100%, basically across. So this year we only pay back to National Treasury only 6.5 million. Next slide. So the 6.5 million came from compensation of employees where there was, you know, like we were just low in filling our vacant posts. That was about 3 million. And a little bit of saving from goods and services, 1.9 million. And expanded public works projects, 1.1 million only. And that is earmarked funds that should not be used based on the charges that we get from National Treasury. So we paid back the 6.5 million. Next slide. And this is just, you know, like a detailed a view of how our use of goods and services are allocated to the department. I just want to talk about the big ones. You can see there we use a lot of contractors. We outsource and some consultants. That is 357 million for 2014. As opposed to 2013, 330 million. But I got Annexure A, and I think all the members have got the Annexure on use of consultants. And I also have graphs where do we use consultants, and where do we use contractors, and where we use those specialized services. I also have Annexure B on travel. Those are the big ones. Last, the other year it's 142 million. The current year, 1314, it was 141 million. And that is Annexure B. So I've given the members Annexure A and Annexure B. Well, we also have other operating expenditure. Those are the big ones, you know, like our lease payments of 66 million. And we also spend a lot on our heavy sites, about 62 million oil, gas for the ships, the vessels, and the supplies to the islands. The other big one then is, you know, like our computer services, our IT, that's where the sectors are. About 52 million, and then there is advertising, and a lot of communication, about 17 million, radio, TV, you know, like people in all our communications, and public stakeholders, you know, like meetings, that is about 17 million. The other ones are small ones, so for the Auditor General, we pay about 4 million per annum, and I think those are the big, you know, like things. Next slide. Basically, that's what I've explained to say, you know, like, that's mainly the increases from consultants, contractors, agencies, outsourced services, such as 17 million or 17.5, and mainly that relates to the operating of the, you know, like the vessels. And then, you know, there was a small decrease on our operating leases. But when I analyze the figures, I think it was about 6 million, yes, because of the new building in, what do you call it, from Oceans and Coast. Yeah, for those two offices that we acquired, new offices. And then computer services have been increasing, of course, because we're also servicing the new building, and then was an increase in like, for our IT infrastructure in the new building as well. Next slide. Mainly they are trying also to analyze to say, you know, like on other operating expenditures, because we don't want to just put the name other. We can see they will pay for air shuttle services and, you know, like where the helicopters are accompanying the vessels. That is a big amount. And in 2013 it was 30 million, 2013-14 it was 28 million, so it's not going down. We also contribute to like to professional bodies, memberships internationally, and some of them local, and that is 18 million. I think I've got a slide that is just explaining the stuff. The following slide. Next slide. Those are the professional bodies that you contribute that 18 million to. The General Current Commissions and all the commissions of which the United Nations and environmental assessment practitioners and, you know, like other institutes. That's the breakdown of the 18 million. Next slide. These are our allocations to our public entities. You can see Sandy, South African Weather Services, Isimangaliso and Totals. Right at the bottom, we can see that, you know, like we allocated to SANParks, the operational budget, that is for their, you know, like their compensation as well as use of goods and services, 257 million, SANB, 208 million, and then weather services, 162, and it's not, it's, you know, their contribution, 28.7 million. Then we also contribute for infrastructure, 306 million for SANParks. And then Sandy 55, and then Source 20, and then 96. So we paid all those contributions as approved by NEMA Treasury. And then we also transfer them for, you know, they also get other, they also generate their own revenue. And if you can see, SANParks is there in the lead in generating its own revenue, about 1.2 billion. So while they get 943 from us, they also generate their own revenue of about 1.28 billion, and that gives you like the total revenue, their own revenue that is generated from tax revenue, you know, like tourism and whatever. So in total, tax revenue is 2.2 to 4 billion, the 2.2 to 4 billion, and then also their expenditure would come to it because most of the time it just breaks in. And then it's suddenly in total revenue 531 million. Our contribution was only 264 million from Sandy. And then South African Weather Services own revenue generated 109 million as opposed to our transfers of 188 million. So in total combining that, South African Weather Services revenue was 335 or 336 million if you round it. And then Ismail Ali, so it's the smallest, 86 million. But also they didn't recognize some of the revenue that is, you know, they did it to the following year. So all that was actually what the auditor general has audited for up to the 31st of March 2014. And we've balanced those figures to all these public entities. Next slide. That is just, you know, like the short part of it to say with all the revenues that they've actually, you know, like what that they've transferred and they've generated, where was the revenue, you know, like expanded, extended. So we can see that most, like some part is almost break evening. If you can remember, when I was presenting last time, SANParks had shown a deficit of about 153 million. And they went and readjusted. So you can see now they've got a surplus of 40 million. Remember, we asked to say why did they have a deficit of 150 million. And I think just before the finishing of the financial statements, the figures were verified. So all our public entities are showing, actually three of them are showing a surplus, SANParks 40 million, and Sandy 39.8 million, South African Weather Services 40 million. Only Isimangaliso has declared a deficit of 20.8 million. And I think we'll get, you know, like an explanation to that in the next slide. That is just a comparison then of, you know, like the revenue as well as, you know, like the expenditure. Still the same information but in the slide form. Next slide. Well, how did SAN Park now change from a deficit of 153 million to a surplus of 40 million? They readjusted the revenue, re-recognized the revenue, including, you know, the grant that they received from DAF for managing the indigenous forest. They received about 20 million from DAF, and then with the other statement of revenue, they've got now a surplus of 40.751, and we're happy about that. And then finally, mainly they also were, I think it, according to them, it was, you know, where they are balancing their post medical aid retirement or ever funds, and they also have a surplus of about 39.8 million. These are basically where you just readjust the figures. These are non cash adjustments because the entities are on accrual basis. SOFT also revalued their investment property at Waterproof, and then they realized a better valuation of about 20.1 million. Isman Nabiso attended their audit committee. There was a media data that they had to write off, and then in that data there was a loss of about 6.1 million. I think also in their re-evaluating their liabilities, then they in total recognized a deficit of 20 million. But we'll hear more details in the report. Well, that is just a slide that has been presented by the Auditor General. I wouldn't like to repeat the strategy, because the Auditor General has already reported. We also transferred to other small agents entities. The biggest that we transferred to for the Green Fund is DBSA. We transferred the 250 million. National Treasury had allocated 500 million. In 2013-14, but then we only use 250 million and push the other 250 million in the current year. And also, you know, like small transfers to associations for clean air, about 1.5 million. We transfer to the national regulator for compulsory specifications of plastic microns. We transfer 10 million, that is just one of the biggest, and contribute to the international bodies about 12.8 million. And other ones are just small transfers and compensation funds, that is for, you know, like the contractors working on the alien invasive species clearing. And the other one is just a small on 2.9 million on benefits and leave gratuities. Next slide. For the public works project, all budget again that was approved by National Treasury was transferred to all the, you know, like the projects, the expanded public works projects, looking for water, first column for fire, and then our EPWP projects, and the total that was transferred it was 2 billion. And the 1.1 million was paid back to National Treasury, and maybe it refers to the incentives. The more you actually create more jobs and finish projects on time, you throw money from National Treasury for incentives, and then whatever that, you know, like we didn't choose to pay back, so we've paid back that 1.1 million. And this is just a breakdown of where the 2 billion of expanded public works projects were used. So this number of projects, fire, water, people and parks, waste, the coast, forest, land operations, training, greening, wildlife economy, and then also engaging youth. So we used all the almost 2.1 billion. And only that 1.1 million back. Next slide. On foreign assistance, we do not have a lot of donor funds. The funds have been decreasing, I think, since 2008. And ultimately, you know, we're remaining with only about 3.5 million. So the question there will be, why did we spend more 5.7 million? As opposed to only a budget of 2.5 million. Because some of the funds are still, when we spend, are still in transit from National Treasury, RGD funds to the department. So the expenditure, and then we adjust it later. Next slide. And this chair is okay also our how we track our 30 days payment report to our consultants and suppliers. While the target is the red line, dotted line of 30 days, we try as much as possible to pay the suppliers between 20 and 25 days. And most of the time where we charge the 30 days is where we're having problems with the system, but where the systems are not responding properly, but we also track it. And normally only 3% or between 1% and 2% of our invoices are not paid in 30 days. And some of the invoices are wrong, a chance the suppliers are not like following the processes, and those are the invoices that we report on. This is the trend of how the department has been spending its budget over the years, and it has always been close to 99.9%. And with the cuts, as we were expressing concerns that if we spend close to 99.9%, where are we going to get the contingency, you know, like, of managing our over expenditure, if there is any. Next slide. I think the Auditor General has spoken to that, and perhaps with the details that, you know, like clarifying on the possible fruitless expenditure of 26 million on our expanded public works projects. And also I think the DG will be able to talk around the disclosure of our expanded public works projects, how we should treat it, you know, like capital work in progress, as Auditor General was saying, we should be reporting on modified cash standards with the expanded public works projects. The DG will explain just those two. And then the last bullet is just to also emphasize that we did disclose that all transfers made to agencies and other entities were done within, you know, like approval from the DG as well as national pressure, the PFME requirement. I think that's just the last slide.
Thank you, CFO, and honorable members. Just on the note that at the time, I think I was out when the AG was presenting, on the cost of the fruitless expenditure. This is as a result of what I decided to do to reconcile books backwards. We decided to go back to all the projects that were funded since 1999-2000 and checked whether those were closed properly. And there were some projects that were not closed properly. So this is before my time, but we then thought that it was the right thing to do. And I appointed Deloitte and Touche as the auditors to go and then deal with those projects, both investigate what exactly happened and how to help us close those books. So in some projects, then there were instances where the inflating agent was no longer operational, no longer functional, and others could no longer even pay back the money that was already advanced to the project. So there are recommendations from that audit that in some of those cases we had to report them to the police to recover the cost, and in others we then had to at least appoint another implementing agent to conclude so that we don't then have a fruitless expenditure. So this is what that, so there are about eight, I can't remember now the actual number, of eight, ten projects that then still require that finalization, and that's the amount that we disclosed in financial statements. So in terms of the PFMA, we had this back and forth argument with the Auditor General's office that if I have upfront declared this information in the accounting officer's report on financial statements, why should it be classified as possible for this? So we went back to all the practice notices, and the AG convinced me that that's how we should deal with the matter in respect of reporting it. So it's a cleaning up mechanism that we've initiated, and therefore to make sure that the system is both compliant in terms of making sure that they have the value that has been achieved for. from those from the funds that were sent. If they know value, then the consequences that are associated with that expenditure should be followed through. So that's what that is about. Then the one on the disclosure, we are still in development, but we've accepted effectively because we had to get to the end of the audit process. We have projects wherein, for instance, we have an implementing agent doing building a landfill site in a municipality or ecotourism infrastructure in Northern Cape protected area. That is not going to be the asset of the department. It is going to be the asset of that province or that municipality, or it will be owned by the community. So we are not the owner. So if the possibility of this exemption, so where the treasury agreed with the AG that this is now how we should treat it, for all the years we've not treated it that in that way. So it's a new standard, I understand, but we still think it's not quite applicable. It's unlike when public works build a building for the state, for the department, wherein they are going to have to show it in their books. It's going to mean that all of these projects where we build infrastructure, I must reflect them in the department's assets, asset register. So just the management of that is very tricky. So we've tried to get clarity from the treasurer on whether there is really an understanding of what the consequences are for this classification. Our funds are classified as transfer payment, but the aspect of work in progress, there are reports that are provided on all of that, those projects and expenditures on a monthly and quarterly basis. So we asked the CFO and the team has met with treasury 2 times already after the audit process. There is a meeting that was scheduled for me to attend with the responsible accountant general, but she cancelled, so we've been looking for a date just for them to understand how this is going to apply. And my issue is that we have to have the same principle, because it's not only the Department of Environmental Affairs. Tourism has got the same infrastructure program. So in the meeting that they convened, they had all of those other departments that would be affected by this classification. So it's an issue that we hope can be resolved so that we don't have to have... I'm going to have to spend more time now just on managing the asset registers, and even the whole procurement process would have to be changed and so on. So I think that it has got huge implications about in terms of the system and the resources that I have in the department to actually put in place just for that purpose. So that's what the classification is. So I'm not, at this point in time, I'm pointing consequences. And I want the treasury to confirm that this is how they want to treat that that classification into the future. At the current moment, it's treated as transfer, and in fact, they will have to also treat it now, split from transfers, possibly have what capital expenditure, which is not quite meeting that kind of classification in terms of how we operate and how what it means when you operate a transfer versus capital expenditure. So it's an area that I'm still contesting, but I'm hoping that the treasurer will resolve it, because the AG can only then change the approach on the basis of if treasurer has issued a different determination to that extent. Thank you very much.
That dealt with the finances. Now it will be up to members whether we take a discussion here or we look at the performance before we take a discussion. It should be up to you. The board is in your court.
Thanks very much, Chair. On the issue of food waste and wasteful expenditure, I would like to know from the ministry if there is a strategy or measures that have been put in place to detect and sort of prevent similar incidents happening in the future. That's my own concern for now. Thanks.
No.
Thank you, Jake. While we've got both the DGs and Auditor General School in the room, the impact of the modified cash standard, and you say that this is a new standard, so I want to know when that was introduced. Because I want to know how it is going to impact the current structure of the department where there is a certain division of responsibility to provinces and now and municipalities, correct? And how the modified cash standard is going to then affect those entities' reports as well. So when a province now lists this asset that they've got on their books that we don't have on our books, you know, are they also now going to get some kind of exemption from Trish? Well, they'll have to apply for it, whether they're negative or not, I don't know. But so does this modified cash standard mean that we will have to restructure the way we devolve the responsibilities? What impact is this modified cash standard going to have on the structure of our department as a whole? And has there, with your interactions with Treasury, is there any indication that we will again get an exemption? The next question that I have is on the material misstatement of the department. So certain areas, there were actual misstatements, and that particular issue was not addressed in your response. I just want to find out where those statements took place and why and how they're not going to happen again. Diabuela.
Honourable Member Kuta, Open Mabila Authority.
Thanks, Chair. Now, you have said that there are matters relating to assessment and then the questions that we deal with relating to just the presentation, the financials. We can deal with this together, or I can just raise some questions on the financial and later maybe deal with the issues related to also the recommendations for that has been proposed.
I think because we have not received a presentation performance by the department, I will then say let's just deal with the financials for now so that we don't jump the bandwagon.
Thank you. I think the 26 million, one thing is to just make a statement that it is money that has been lost to the people of South Africa, and the explanations provided do not fit well with us. It will be good to get a good sense of if indeed in the future this sort of thing can be extinguished so that it doesn't happen again. Then I have specific questions. On page 3 of the presentation, I'd like to know what is the percentage that goes to, in terms of the percentage that go to the services that we procure through consultants. And I know that NSA was going to say, it's there, but it's quite cryptic, so it would be good to get a good sense of the clue, what do they mean. But the big question there is the total budget, what of the money goes to a consultant. And then on page 6, this business of the sun tax, the 157 million that goes to what is said is post-retirement healthcare, which one that we have used. The question is, who are these beneficiaries? Because I know that there was a big discussion about inheriting some people from the past and they were not taken care of and so on and so forth. That's a big amount, and we need to get good sense who gets this money, who benefits from Allah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that the people will work anyway, not just in fact, in fact it should become law that if I retire, I must be taken care of. But it cannot be a particular group of people. So this question is very advised. Then there's, I think, page 9, where there's a presentation of the of donor aid. My question really is this is such a small amount of money. Why are we asking money from Europeans when it's so little? Why can't we just take that money and give it to community and so on. Why are we bound? Why are we begging from these people?
Okay, Nabila.
No, thanks, I'll be brief. I think my first comment only on the test day's payment report is articulated by the CFO. I think in my view, this is a positive development that SMEs don't collapse on the basis of they are not paying debt. So it's a positive development, and also the innovativeness around paying them for the 30 days should dissipate. It should not be dropped. I've got just two basic questions. One is, why is there an increase in the consultants on page 6? Secondly, is the money fund allocated to NPOs? It's sort of hidden in terms of the other groups. Can it just be separated to say how much is given to the NPOs and which are the NPOs? Lastly, is this question of the footnote on page 5. I want to be clarified. Under the EPWP, there's a question that they say savings. What does it mean? So those will be my questions, Chair, so far.
Those you responded with just one item from myself. Maybe let's appreciate the capacity to spend. Well, this is one area where we are very thin in the state. Just the ability and capacity to spend what we are being given. In most instances, almost all programs return their money to Treasury because of the inability to spend. Let's tell you, you are running at over 90% just on spending targets in all the programs. One is with me, and this is very dear to my heart, Minister. Whatever reason, why would we take over 1.1, is it billion or million? Billion, I think. On page EPWP. It's a million. It's a billion. No, it's 1 million. It's a bit 1 million now. Understood within the context of what we are dealing with here, it's understandable. Understandable, yes. But I think we just want to say you are doing quite well. Perhaps the more other good points will come from actual achievements. Because it might be good to look at the figures, but how do these figures address the difficulties of our people on the ground? And that's where performance comes in. I withdraw my question of 1.1 billion. Yes.
Thank you, Jay. There was just one little footnote question that I neglected to ask. And that super wasteful expenditure was basically incurred because the money was paid to the service or the implementing agents up front. Why would it paid up front? Isn't there some kind of drawdown that we can initiate, or, you know, for example, that yes, you are going to get your 10 million rand and upon completion of certain certificates, we will release certain funds. Can I just get an explanation as why that money was ever paid up front? Thank you.
Why is I going to answer here? It's not a call, but it's still a department. She's in charge of the department. But let's appreciate one thing. That on their own accord, you see, it's bad when the Auditor General uncovers certain things. But on their own accord, they went back and checked whether all projects had been properly closed. And they even went to get an outsider, Deloitte & Touche, to assist then in this exercise, so that in future all projects should be closed timelessly and properly. It's when then they uncovered this anomaly. But you were just at the DG what are the steps that you have taken in relation? Just indeed, we must say you did a good thing, and of billions and billions that has been used to unveil and construct projects. Only 26 million could not be accounted for properly. But what efforts, I think that's the question, why we give that to you, but what efforts have you put in place to ensure that this does not happen again?
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chief. Person with that relocation modified standards to say when was it effective. We are of the opinion that the cash modified standards will be implemented effective from this year, 2014. But then according to the Auditor General, we're supposed to have already implemented the cash modified standards. But in our interaction with the Auditor General and National Treasurer, first, the expanded public works projects are treated as transferred, as the DG has indicated. So what National Treasury needed to do is to make us reclassify the NGF, to remove these funds from the transfer line to the capital line. That's what National Treasury is supposed to do first. And we've now passed the AME process, which is the adjustment estimates of this year. We've already passed the NGF process, which is more like the other 3 years. But also, it's not only the 3 years. Remember, the project can run for 2 years or 3 years. So some of them have to be restated in the prior year. You know, the ones that are still going, and the future years for the 3 years, because the NGF is 3 years. And also restate the current year. So National Treasury responsibility reclassified from transfers to capital. The department would be responsible for including a line in our financial management systems, which is BES, to say now we put a line that is called work in progress. That is also actually done by National Treasury. They have to reclassify the chart of accounts. And then on the balance sheet, then we'd have to report those projects as our own capital. And we'll also say to National Treasury, they might also be dual reporting, because those entities that are, you know, like the owner of this project, what are they supposed to report in their own balance sheet if we report in our own balance sheet? You know, like this. So we've discussed all this with the National Treasury in the CFO forum, because we're not the only department that is actually affected. I think in the CFO forum there's also public works. And we've also asked National Treasury to give us a letter this year to say, because we are now almost 6 months into the end of the financial year, what is it that we need to do so that we can be able to give that letter to the Auditor General. As the DG has said, we had 3 meetings. We haven't got a conclusion. National Treasury indicated that they are still aligning with all other departments. So we just raised our accounting concerns, and we said now National Treasury must give when it comes to consultants, I think it will depend which percentage, whether I must express it as a percentage of 17 million of the whole use of goods and services, or of the whole budget of the department. But I did try, I haven't calculated the percentage. My budget chief director says 41%, and I said 41% of what? Of course, it's excluding transfer payments. But perhaps if I... An excuse, yes. So our consultants, this quick report that I've given to you, that's why I said perhaps the correct name is to say contractors, professional services. Some of them are operators, like the SARS system. You can't call them consultants. And we also have criteria where we say, you know, these contractors will always use, like them, those are naming and operating the vessels. So even though it says consultants, it is actually not like people who are providing professional services that will never provide in the department. And our consultants that we use, you know, like for like wasting the municipalities and like, we always have those commands. So we've got 4 different criteria, but I'll bring them, you know, like one day to the portfolio committee. And I did do a spread to say, like, EP program 6. Most of what we're calling contractors, the contractors, 40 years in the alien in the 60s, that is almost half a million. So to express the percentage of extra use of goods and services would actually not give, you know, like a proper indication, because those people will always be, they are clearing the alien in the 60s.
But are you giving them a good terminology, you know, maybe? Our consultants, consultants to us mean something else. It might not mean the people that you are referring to now.
We'll give, you know, we'll have to expand, you know, use of consultants and put all the contractors in there. So we won't be able to express the percentage properly. We'll have to go perhaps branch by branch to see what is the percentage to operation and then aggregate it to the road department. For program 3, that's what I've already mentioned, about 120 million of that 141 million is many of the vessels and the operation.
Okay, let me come in short. I understand there was a question about material misstatement. The stamp tax in the report, AG, because I was outside, I'm assuming, because we had material statements the year before, and then, not this year, but the ones that are reported by the AG would be.
Through your noble chiefson,
can you clarify that?
It is correct, not stamp tax, it's not year. Year is when unqualified was applied.
So there were no statements in there.
Okay, then can I then come back to the other questions, honourable members? So I think honourable stand on the issue of the implications on restructuring. I think for now it's easy for me to do. For now we're just still talking more financial and how the classification is going to look like that. At an execution level, I think one would have to think clearly whether there's going to be less significant implications. Then the other part of the question that relates to how the honourable member had were talking about how to detect or prevent foodless and wasteful expenditure. This is my explanation earlier on. I think we've said we have projects that are not closed properly, which is what we're trying to close. And we then, in that process of investigation, realized that there were areas where some monies were transferred. And in the context of transfer payments, honorable standard, we're dealing with small contractors, NGOs, we're dealing with even the public agencies, by the way, we have Cape Nature, Northwest Passport, if they are our implementing agents. So we have the public entities, we have the NGO types. Upfront, the focus here is about paying salaries or wages to the unemployed people once they do work of either clearing invasives or rehabilitating a wetland or creating fencing a protected area and so on and so on. So you have to buy material upfront, there is a payment of labor as they start working. So the way we structured it is that it is understandable that you need to provide upfront payments. The issue is then what is done now concerning what we've, the lessons that we've learned from this process of this audit, is then to look at how much is so that you spread the risk and then have more control steps to then manage what you transfer so that you don't transfer. When we started, I think we did transfer even full amounts upfront, which was not ideal. But it is a separate bank account. The requirements are separate bank account. It is audited separately. There is an audit report on that account and so on. So the department can have access to that bank account, even if it's in it's another entity, whether it's the passport or even an NGO through other legal mechanisms. So the separation of the bank accounts is what they use to actually manage accountability on what the funds are sent for, because it has to, the expenditure must link to the expenditure items that are outlined in the business plan. And so for purpose of cash flow management, you then transfer a certain amount upfront. For those small contractors, about 100 of them, at times you have 100,000 contracts for clearing a block of, say, 1 hectare, depending on the density. If it's water dense, it might be more. If it's less dense, it's partly infested. You then have less wet root that you have to treat. So there is differentiation, and I think the control measures, I think in our discussions with the Auditor General, we're talking about how we further tighten controls to make sure that before you get to closure of the project, because the project has a start and end, before you get to closure, there are those intervals of reporting, and also for you to get the next tranche, you must, at least if it's over a year, you submit an audit report. So there's already an audit, and also confirmation of the outputs and the deliverables that are outlined in the business plan. So we've tightened the controls in that respect. Above that, now we are also saying consciously you need to plan proactively for closure, so that as it gets about over 75% of project implementation, already there is a process of winding down and closure, so that that project is closed properly and you don't leave them unclosed for a long time. So, Honourable Member Kitana, I think the CFO has attempted to answer you on the consultants. We have outlined areas of where should the department in undertaking our business, where we will always require external services, where it's at times not our, there are reasons, at times where it's not our function. A local government, in terms of provision of waste services, they are providing support. There is no point in us having permanent people that would have to run that function. They must be at local government level, and we then have a mechanism. If we give them a support, meaning at times we have contracts of 3 years and FK, what is required. And we have consultants that are related to scientific services, which are not the scientific services that we need to have permanent in the department. Like, for instance, in the area of air quality management, it could be necessary that you undertake assessment of the impacts of that poor air quality, and you need toxicologists who are specialists. You would get that from a consultant. We don't need to have them permanently in the department, because they you would have to appoint them when you have that need. And in other different areas, in the ocean area, we have a vessel, and we procure those services, and therefore you have contracts for 3 years, but spending that contract is about 600 million or even more that is spent on that. So there is nothing else we can do. We cannot have a facilities and the technology and run operations and maintenance of vessels at sea ourselves. That is definitely not right within our service requirements as provisioning of the in the department in respect of expertise. On the donors, I think I would not comment. Suffice to say, Honourable Member, that these donors were high. We had big amounts when we started, so we can come back and say what was in the Danida program starting from its inception. And now we are at the point of winding down. Remember, South Africa, after 1994, everybody wanted to come and support in different ways. And there has been negotiations through Treasury under the RDP fund. We were accessing those funds. And now we are still not a developing country by some of the developed countries, and they are beginning to reduce their support to South Africa. So that's in essence why we have those less numbers. We know we're not begging, but even if I can get 10 million, I'm happy, because I don't have it now from the fiscal. So it helps me in one aspect of the provisioning of the services. Then, who benefits in the SEMPAS program? Should I ask that? Maybe that's what we discuss when we have SEMPAS, and share that question to SEMPAS. So you can, So that's basically, those are the comments that I thought way of responding to the questions of the honourable members. And then on the savings on EPWP, you have not talked to that as before.
Yes. On the savings on EPWP, did you that 1.1 million something, which I presented it. Basically what happens is that upfront National Treasury will give us, you know, like an allocation for the funded public works. And based on the milestones, then they give incentives. And then we recalculate and say, based on our performance, this is the incentive that applies. And whatever that doesn't apply, which was the 1.1 million, we pay back to National Trade. Because it is based on the charge that is given.
In essence, honourable members, Treasury has not given us budgets upfront. So you have a certain baseline budget for your EPWP program. There is another amount that you can access, depending on whether you exceed targets. That's what they call an incentive, and they have a methodology to work out what that incentive is. So if they then say, because you're going to spend this much, and you're going to deliver so much, this is a calculated incentive that you will have. But you will not use that money until you've met that target. So that's what has been paid. That 1.1 million is what we did not use from the incentives that we were given. What was the total incentive that we got? Do you have the figure? If we had more, I don't have it now. It's me handy. Just look at it. So we used our allocated budget and also the incentive, less 1 million on the incentive. That's in essence what that that slide says. Thank you. How much on the incentive? We have we spent 116 plus 52 million plus 132, which is about 301 million. So it's 301,894,000 that we were given. So we spent 301 million returns in essence. Okay.
The characterization is for me not proper. I don't want to place in the semantics, but then it can't be saving, because EPWP is not about saving. It's about creating temporary jobs. So once you put the concept, I understand the background that you've given, but for me, it brings another connotation. But I don't want to get into that. It's just a point of emphasis.
So written here, Chair, sorry to you, and we did not say savings. I think it's just a question, the way we frame the question. It says and incentive to be paid back to National Treasury, which is 1.16. Not unless we're answering your wrong question. I don't know on the
page. Through the chair, page 2, not numbers, page 2, is a footnote there. Page 2. Note that saving on EPWD. Yeah, the cost at the page 5 of the slide. Yeah, but fine. Accept the explanation.
Expanded public, I think that's wrong. Sorry. Yeah, we accept it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I just say, on the questions on SANPAS, can we wait for SANPAS to be here? So that when we answer, when the department, whether on the CFO or CEO, they must answer with them in attendance. So that we don't make things difficult for the department. We don't know how far their processes are, because they have a board that is also supposed to deal with these issues, if you don't mind. Stella?
Thank you, Chair. I think, with us being a new committee, to understand your terminology of the line items, perhaps we could just give a definition of each line item, what it entails, a brief description so that we don't have to ask you those same questions again, especially when we do this process again next year. And then the second largest line item was travel and subsistence. Now, as with the consultants and the blah, 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 they were that case that I list in there. That travel and subsistence, is it also inclusive of expenses related to that program? And then I know that when we looked at the voluntary budget earlier this year, the expenses of running that program and the Agalas and the Algoa despite the fact that they benefit so many other departments. Has the department reached any, during the engagement, are we getting anywhere with negotiating with, for example, the Navy, to contribute to the expenses of the fleet? Because I know it was raised as an opportunity, perhaps. What is the progress in that regard? And then I just wanted to get a clarification, and I'm trying to go through my notes so that I don't have to answer the question, but I haven't found it. The operating leases and cash flow statements where there were issues, was that DIA or was it a sub-entity? Thank you. Withdrawn.
Thanks, Chair. I have a question on the percentage of the money that we spend on consultants, and the answer is quite frankly not satisfactory. That doesn't seem like we know. And that category entails so many, from what little that we hear now. And I think if I look just quick on those figures, it's certainly more than 40% of the budget here we see. So, a government department, as a matter of principle, and I'm not saying anything about what a specialized sort of capacity must necessarily reside in a government party all the time, but it does seem like a huge figure. And so it raises fundamental questions about whether we simply give money to private entities here to do work that we believe is important for this nation. If we believe such services are important, then we must carry them out ourselves and build the capacity so that we are not dependent on strategic services on private entities. The government should serve its people, create the internal capacity, pay for these SCTs. I don't think there's any reason why not. I mean, government spend money to go to their own government, put people there. So here we are told, so it is a big question for me. 40%, more than 40% of our budget goes to, then what is this department? This department is here to give money to private entities in the name of selling the nation. And no one is discussed that right now. I'll come back and show how it's a consistent pattern of doing so. And again, unfortunately, it's not a government, it's not a departmental program. It's the problem of the ruling party that has surrendered the state to private hands. Until that matter is clarified, this is the unfortunate conclusion that we have to draw.
So it's our own conclusion, as well if you're bringing the party, but then let's allow the minister to talk on it before we also talk on it.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I just wanted to make a comment on a few things, but only this one, if you allow me. First of all, I think it would be important that we get the DG to just elaborate a bit on these projects that we're referring to that were not properly closed before. And I'm sure in what you will say is that the working EPWP programs that we are managing as a department has just recently been consolidated from other departments from all walks of life. You realize that there were programs that were in water affairs, there were programs that were managed by, I think, managed staff, and so on, and over many years. So as government took a decision to consolidate all of them under the Department of Environmental Affairs, there was a need, therefore, to go through
the entire set of all those projects and look at how they were closed and ensure that there is a process of proper closing and therefore accountability. And I'm sure GG will deal with that as well if it's really still necessary. But I just thought that I should highlight that. The second thing I thought I should deal with, and that's probably what then led to, not probably, to the 26 million run, or the many billions. That's where it was really arising from an exercise of a cleanup and ensuring that moving forward we are managing this properly. And I'm sure I'd like to believe that that exercise is currently being implemented very well. The other thing is really about consultants services. I think several members have asked about the expenditure on consultants, and I think the CFO is in the first instance is right to indicate that under this list of consultants there is really a mixed bag of all kinds of services. I'm not sure whether a DG and CFO at this stage there is a criteria from what is this thing? Treasury that indicates what constitutes consultancy. I know that the Auditor General's office is sitting there in the back. We had a huge argument with them 2 years ago, so it was not an argument, it was a nice debate on where to classify institutions like OCSIR, because it was also classified as a consultancy. When in fact, in our understanding, we know CSI has to be a government institution that is in charge to do exactly the work of supporting government. But they are charging us. That's a reality. And as they charge us, what do you call that money that's been spent? And who do they use, probably, is the issue. Do they do the work themselves, or do they extend to ask other people to do that? So, I mean, those times there's a bit of a gray area in that direction, in that space that needs to be dealt with. I just want to walk through this list of so-called consultants, or what we classify, put here as a consultant, as consultants. One of the, and I think I'm starting on page one, their program one, and I'm really trying to talk to the question, the response itself. That says maybe we should be having people internal to build capacity for people to do that work. In the state situation, when you appoint a person who's knowledgeable, either a specialist or not, you do what's called job content analysis for that particular post. You do then job remuneration based on the job content and job description and all those things that go with it. Meaning that every employee who gets appointed must be appointed to perform some work full-time for that particular post, because it's classified in its job content to be seen. It's a deputy director level, this person will do this full-time, and da 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 da. Among these things that are here before us, some of them are once-off expenditure. Let me pick on just one of them. And group 5 infrastructure development, it's a once-off expenditure. It's consultant. We can't appoint people for a once-off project. Nor do you develop a specialization in the branch to do a once-off project. Some of them are 12 months. Let me pick on another one. Africa conference rentals is a once-off thing. And I think we need to go, and this is why I want to appeal to the chair, that we allow the space for cleaning up this whole list and really just dissecting that which could actually be forming what could be qualified to be called consultants in a true sense of the way. So we allow this process. Let's take, for instance, the Zor group, that which was me coaching specialist for management. It can't be an internal service. I mean, we can go on with the list and so on. Competency assessment by this company. Leadership consulting coaching. Again, media monitoring. You need a particular kind of course, we do media monitoring, not of a special kind. If you need a special kind, that's when you appoint people from external, but there are people who are doing any monitoring permanently in government. So I'm really arguing that we need to look at this in relation to that arrangement of who you do have to appoint full time, let it be people who can be accountable and work for more than 12 months, as all these things are services that are given for 12 months and less. So if you appoint people to give services for 12 months and they still stay on your payroll, I'm sure we'll all say that's a big problem. By the way, let's also remember that at government level, we do have a percentage that is supposed to be spent on personnel. I think it's how much, 33%, not more than that. So, in a kind of department that we are, this are some of the reasons why you would have in your list like this, people who then appointed of that date. Of course, they are specialists here. They then keep on one of the specialist services where you are doing greenhouse gas inventory analysis. It's not a service that you can give to any one of these specialists. Never mind the specialists, because you may require 10 different kinds of people at the university to perform this as once of a DBA report. So if you have to have this skill in-house, it means you have to appoint 10 people who do this work after 10, 12 months or whatever time they are doing, 9 months. Then you have to say to them, goodbye, because you had appointed the inside. So there are instances where governments would have to have skills inside build and do that. But there are instances where we are going to have to use external people. At any rate, we should also avoid making laws where they are not in existence. There is no statement in government that says we should not use consultants. And this is why I'm alluding to some of the services where we use consultants. There should not be over-reliance on consultants. That's what the statement is, not the use of consultants. So misconceptions, I think we just need to clarify. And let's leave this meeting with an understanding that there's a big wrong on having consultants that you need who are there for a short period. Sorry, Chair, I just wanted to go in depth on that particular thing. The other thing, and which is last but one, that I thought I should deal with, is this issue of getting money from external people. DG has explained that the amounts were huge earlier on. But if you have, for a problem like icing rhino sketch on DNA something, an amount of maybe $3 million. How much is $3 million? Times 10. It's 33 million rand or so. I don't think in this government anybody can give you 33 million rand tomorrow to do this. It's cumulative, it's this one, the entity, it's another agent, it's not begging. It's about also people doing, performing their obligations. We are saying as a world that there are developed countries that actually benefit on the developing countries. And more they contribute because they are making some amount of money. They used to contribute more. The more they contribute, the better for all of us. These are the discussions that either we are holding at international level, even about the Green Climate Fund. We ask the people to actually contribute. So again, it should not be seen as a sin, S-I-N, for that to happen. It's not begging, it's getting us to really get that money distributed and spent. The percentage of the services procured, and this is the last point I want to make, a percentage of services that I think it's a GGGG question that was not answered. Oh, no, it's percentage of consultant. I think we'll start with that. So thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think for now, subsistence allowance, if I can just address that. We do have a discussion right now, and this is actually what we're going to be dealing with tomorrow, as well as Operation Akisa, that within the context of the services that are delivered at oceans, if we're talking about SA Balance, that are delivered at oceans in particular, we find that there are how many, something like 18 agencies that operate within that space. It's not only this. So there's got to be management and co-management and cooperation, and that's what we're bringing in place to cooperate at sea, so that then ensure that if, say, for instance, that the ship or their whatever monitoring tool is inland and is at ocean, then they can also simultaneously do particular jobs that could be, have to be done by a ship that travels from here to the same place. So those 18 agencies are working on cooperation, and that's one thing that we will be doing, that will be present is unveiling cooperation package tomorrow. So immediately thereafter, I think we should then come and it's Petroleum Committee just to realize as well. This is just but one of many things that we're dealing with at that level. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Before I leave, I thought I should also just add to the Minister, the reason why we gave the committee, the honourable members, the details, I think we can come back and then simplify and do the summaries, but we think we are transparent enough for you to have a sense of who is the consultant. If you read the schedule, you'll be able to see who's the consultant and who in this big sheet. But we can then consolidate and then and qualify then the different types of the services that we. Similarly, on the travel and subsistence, we've given you Annexure B, which again shows each of the branches, both international and domestic travel. So we are transparent what we spend. And you can see on, for instance, on program 6, environmental programs, there is more of the expenditure on travel and more domestic, because that's where we spend the 3 billion rands on projects. That's where you need more quality control and so on, and that involves a lot of traveling between the different provinces. So that's in essence what I thought in terms of accounting in respect of what is covered in our annual report. This is what we use the money for. And when then the branches respond on the actual performance, you will then be able to assess whether they were properly funded in both in terms of human resources, they even had consultants or some other external capacity, as well as also the use of travel and subsistence. The other question on that opportunity for other partners in respect to funding the operations vessels, Air Galax and Algoa. We have a collaboration with the Department of Science and Technology. They contribute 6 million on the scientists. Weather Services is our agency. They also part of the team. I'm not sure whether we're going to have to pass the bill to them at some point, because they have the scientists that use the vessels to go to Marion and even to base the UK based honorable program. We have a base in Gore Island. We need the Europeans, or not the Europeans, the UK more than they need us, because they own base. We then have a facility there for us to project our weather services from Gore Island. Otherwise, we have to acquire another piece of land at sea in that area. So there are areas where it's unavoidable to go to have those collaborative relationships. The same with universities. Remember that universities, most of the professors are giving value to the government and to the country. So if we are going to charge them, it's going to be something that we're looking at, and we have science councils and so on that are involved in the voyages. Some of the international scientists, we have already started charging them, but for instance, with Gore Island, the UK, we are not paying for the use of the base, but we have then agreed as part of that lease agreement that when they then have crews that go to the island, they would then use our vessel without us charging them. So those are some of the arrangements, but in essence there is collaboration. It's not financial in other instances, and in some areas it is financial, and we will continue to explore this area and see whether we can be able to get as much as possible for to help us to at least grow the value that we get from the vessels, but also have other contributors to help us run the vessels. I think, Honourable Chair, on that note, we have dealt with all the questions on financials, and it may be prudent that we then compare then what we've used the money for in terms of the health format. Thank you very much.
In fact, that's where we're going to direct the meeting to go to, so that we are not stuck on the financial. Indeed, we have had the views of colleagues on various areas, some that have been explained, and I think I agree with the minister. Perhaps there is a conventional terminology called consultants. Unfortunately, we have packed almost everything into that terminology. It will be helpful if we can clean up that area, so that, because all of us, if indeed we're going to use over 40% on what is normally referred to as consultants, I think we'd worry all of us. But the reality is that some of the areas that we are referring to, people who are clearing certain areas, the invasive species, can we really call those consultants? Or we need another wording for such people? But can we then say that you will come back to us when we have cleaned up the various categories that we have? Having said that, can we then go to the actual work performance? So that you lead us on that DG on the performance. We have seen the monies now. We have seen that you use 99% of the monies. But what is the impact of this this use on the mandate that you carry on behalf of the people of South Africa? What has been the impact, DG?
Thank you, Chair.
Minister.
May I ask for apology to, we could be at a meeting with us at the trip circle this evening in the briefing, and the latest flight that leaves much after 1:30, 12:35, which we have to be in with the DG. The next one arrives then at 8:30, when the meeting is already supposed to be on. It's a real sincerely regretted thing. We didn't anticipate that Susan would give us tomorrow for this day of open day of Agusa. Unfortunately, we equally stranded our members. We've got 7 members in the committee, which is supposed to sit tomorrow when we come here. So we really want to sincerely apologize. But before I turn that, I just say one or two things. On the issue of the budget overall, it's been quite some time now that South Africa has been operating under very stringent, difficult circumstances. And it's not only for us as South Africans. It is worldwide. Also, honourable members have seen the recent discussions regarding the state of affairs with regard to the potential economic growth, the projections. They're not looking too good for us, as it has been stated periodically by the Minister of Finance. And we need to do a lot more to grow our economy. And we need to also just understand that a government is indeed trying to do much to grow the economy so that there could be a goose that laid a golden egg. And one of the things that we are going to foresters tomorrow to do is expansion of the ocean economy, for us to be able to grow our economy. It's really, there are several attempts, you know, the infrastructure build program and all those things. The infrastructure program actually helps to cushion much more better than any other nation could do in 2008, 2009, while the world was in a real, real crisis. We were cushioned by our 2010 infrastructure build, but even beyond program that we have been doing. So I'm saying there are responses. We are continuing to increase those responses as government. However, currently, there are real, real troubles out there in terms of budget. And when a government like ours is subjected to
budget constraint, we do sit together and say, what do we do as a country? Were there cuts on federal expenditure proposed and done? Were there cuts on even the usage of water? You're the only ones in parliament who still have this water in bottles, bottled water. Just really in how much we buy, procure services of this nature at expensive prices and cutting down T-shirts, all those things. There's been a very expensive program that we went into. However, there is still a need to do more. And therefore, part of the future, TRADAP has been directed to look at every program that needs to be looked at, scrutinized, whether there's fat, so that we don't be bones, but we more meat through which we can actually still work and survive. So, as we come across several budget cuts that are really seen now, this is the context of those budget cuts. I'm raising this so that we don't sometimes, I have stated before that says, Minister, cut the budget. Don't cut budget. Minister, environment, you have to say, doesn't do that. So we are all subjected to this very difficult circumstances. What do we do? Do we need to say children must not go to school, bring that money, because we want to now find the post? We need to say close the hospital? We look at all those things in the balance that we have. Thank you, Chair. I thought I should just deliver it on that statement and leave it so that at least there's context in what we're doing and we discuss also openly out.
We have heard you, Minister. I wanted us to zoom before you leave into the performance. If we still have time, how much time do you have? Well, how much time did you have?
I'm also ready, Chair. I'm sorry, I have to leave now.
Yeah. Oh, so you've got to leave. Maybe before you then leave, remember this, just a few comments to make, Minister, you have said a mouthful. We are all aware, by the way, of the economic outlook. All of us are fully conversant. We are quite aware of the difficulties we face as a country. That's why there's no way we will stop you from going to at launch of this ocean economy tomorrow by the President, because that's what that will give all of us as a country something to look up to improve our economic performance. Members, before I release that, is there any one word before they leave? Yes, Donald?
I wanted to say this to you personally, that I think the improvement of the audit report is a direct credit to your team under your leadership. And the openness and transparency that you've offered to us is appreciated. The proactive interventions that you've taken are noted. And I just want to say that we appreciate all your efforts within the constraint that you have. So thank you very much and congratulations.
For them, just on the unqualified audit report, which is a clean report, it's a step in the right direction. So we need to say to the manager and the collective team that the minister is leading it. The department is on the right course, and we appreciate that the unqualified audit and must sustain it. We also take note that in terms of the auditor's report, there will be no unauthorized financial expenditure reported. So it's a healthy state of affairs. I'm grateful for that. Thanks, Minister. Thanks. No, I've already spoken about the thing. But just in the presence of the Minister, my colleague is just reminded that I must echo through him that Minister, the 30-day notice payment is fully appreciated. That's all. Thanks.
I am Kutama Anya Utwena Zakumanan in the Petalana. Minister and the DG, again, I think the sentiments that have been expressed here are sentiments that are aligned with all of us. You are doing a good job and continue doing so. It's not only this year, it's over many years, by the way, that you have been at the department doing a good job, getting unqualified reports, and most importantly, being able to spend what is allocated to you and spend it appropriately. So we are really very thankful to all of you. Now you can take leave before you lose your flight. Thank you very much. Now, who are you leaving us with?
Thank you.
You're leaving us with
Dimple will start with the introduction and the FTCOO can respond to the Program 1 presentation. And the DGGs are here to talk to the performance of each of the programs. So, yes, they are all here. They are going to just come to the front before we go to the Weather Services. The Weather Services also has got the board members here. Oh, they are here. They will then be able to...
We will see them after lunchtime. We want them to come in for now.
So when you see the red, you must now then start worrying about the performance of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can go and pack his for now. They are in your capable hands now.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Honourable Minister and DG. As DG has indicated, I'll just introduce basically the different programs and the branches that will be covered in the programs and just give an overall picture of GR performance as a whole. All the DGs will talk to the details in their relevant branches. So under Program 1, which is Administration, we basically have two units there, which is the CFO unit and the COO unit, which I'll then cover because of mainly governance issues. That we're looking at. I'm not sure if all members have the document, just checking. The updated summary. It's actually a summarized version of the detailed annual report. There was a dashboard that was provided just to give the color coding there, and I'll explain the color coding just now, Chair, so that we are clear on what those mean. But the other presentation that was stated this morning give details to those colors that we have as well. So there's those three of documents that we have, but we'll basically run through the summary. However, we'll take questions on the entire contents of the annual report. Okay. In terms of Program 2, we have legal authorizations and compliance enforcement. DG Abada is here. Oceans and coast. Dr. Maikiso will take us through the climate change and air quality management. Dr. Manano will be standing in for Judy Beaumont to take us through that. Biodiversity and conservation is what Zimandleni will take us through that. And environmental programs. Under environmental programs, we have two branches, which is the environmental programs that Dr. Preston will do, and the environmental advisory services, which Alf Walls will do. Then Mark Gordon will cover chemicals and waste management. In terms of Program 1, in the main Program 1 looks at governance issues. It's around us providing equitable and sound corporate governance, and as we have had a report from Auditor General, we did get a qualified audit report. We've looked at our expenditure, which is at 99.9%, and we are also happy to announce that as a department, we have complied with all governance issues, whether it's around tabling of plans to Parliament, we've maintained a high response rate to parliamentary questions, and time frames, and also engagements with governments. The other area of work in Program 1 is around providing a conducive working environment for their employees, but also contributing to transformation imperatives. And in that regard, we have exceeded the targets that we have in ensuring that the staff complement of DIA has 50% women. We are at 56%. We have met the target of having 90% of the staff complement being black. And we have met the target on people with disabilities, which is the 2% target. That said, we had set a 2.2 for ourselves, and we had met the 2.2.
We also, in terms of contribution to transformation, are ensuring that 78% of our budget is spent on triple BEE enterprises. Our first target was 61%, so we have exceeded the target in that regard. We had a big project in that financial year, which was around construction of a new green building for the department, and we have achieved that target, so there was a bit of a delay in that regard. In terms of the other key focus area for Program 1 is around skills development, both in the department and all the skills in the sector. For the department, we have met our targets in terms of recruiting interns in the department, which we try to absorb in so far as possible, but in some instances, due to financial constraints, we are not able to absorb all the interns that we have. We have offered 38 salaries to ensure that our staff also improve the skills levels that they have, and we are continuously implementing our workplace skills plan. In terms of the sector, if we looked at the sector skills plan, it was focused in looking at the curriculum from primary level to ensure that there are environmental considerations in the curriculum. And we needed to then ensure that even the teachers or the educators are trained, at least on the assessment of these. We had a target of training 100 teachers. We have been able to train 145 teachers in that regard. The other area of competency is around ensuring the skills and capacity of officials in environmental impact management or assessments. In this regard, we had plans to train 144 officials on NEMA EIA accredited training, and we have been able to train 172 officials. Just as a summary, if we look at the performance of DEA overall, the Department of Environmental Affairs, we have 76% of our targets, which is about 124 of the 164 targets that we have, that have been met. And about 50% of those have actually been exceeded. We were able to increase the targets that we had set for ourselves, marginally so, without having to look at resources. I think AG was very strict on that to say wherever we've exceeded the target, we must also state what is the implication on that, how are we able to exceed our targets, just to make sure that we're not setting lower targets, so we're able to then cater for those. The color yellow that I just wanted to explain, which is partially achieved, it basically talks to areas of work where we are above 90% of achieving the target. So, if, for instance, if we had planned to do 8 environmental awareness campaigns and we've done 7, we haven't classified that as a target achieved, so we have said it's partially achieved or substantially achieved in actual fact. So, in essence, if you look at both the 76 and the 21%, it would be targets that have been substantially achieved, so it's basically 91% of our targets. We have only 6 targets that we did not achieve in the department as a whole. Some of these targets are sitting in the climate change branch, and Dr. Mandana will talk to those, but there are overall constraints that we have looked at and assessed to say where have we not met targets and why have we not met targets. And in the main, we have not met targets due to financial constraints that we had, the limited funding that we talked to, and as a result of the national treasury cut that we've been experiencing had an impact on some of the targets that we had, because it also had an impact on our ability to fill vacancies and have capacity in some areas of work. So that accounts for the other targets that we have not met. As I indicated, in terms of the climate change function, we have a few functions that were funded through donors because we realized that we would not have adequate funds for those. And there were delays in processing the donor funding, which then led to this delay in achievement of targets. So that's in the main the challenges that they've had in that branch. So the other problem that we've had is around the fact that we are also limited in terms of sourcing additional donor funds, as DG indicated earlier on, that even the global economic environment does not permit for the donor funders to still give us the amount of money that they were giving. In some instances, they're actually opting to partner with us in terms of providing the expertise and the skills as opposed to the funds that we have. So we're still utilizing those other mechanisms. The other area where we did not meet our target it's around the Fraser Ford Dome, which I think once we would talk to the details of it in program 5. So I'm just highlighting those areas where they will then give us the details of why we did not meet the targets there. And they also challenges around capacity at provincial level to implement our national legislation, and the BNC colleagues would also still talk about that because it was a target in BNC that was not achieved. I think that just gives a summary sense of the overall and where we would be going. I'll then ask DDG Shamabaza to come in on program 2.
Okay, can we check what time it is so that if it is 1 o'clock, we take a break? 10 to. All right. We'll continue until 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, we say, don't worry, South African Weather Service and DEA, you are here, if it's possible, until the whole night, until we are done with both these aspects of work that we must engage with. Don't worry, but we must be ready to engage so that we are not sitting here hungry. Thank you very much. Problem 2. Take 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Chair. I just need to apologize, Chair, because these slides haven't been updated. I've got a few additional issues, but we can start next slide. In terms of Program 2, Chair, our target for environmental authorizations that were inspected, we had a target of 125. We've exceeded that. We've actually inspected 135. Similarly, in terms of criminal investigations finalized and handed over to the National Prosecuting Authority, we've exceeded that by 2 cases. In terms of our EIA applications for our strategic infrastructure projects, we had 11 of those, and we finalized those as well. We've trained 1,003 wildlife monitors. Then, Chair, next slide.
Just ask you that. EIA applications for strategic infrastructure projects, how many? How many had you planned?
There were 11 sub-projects. Those we can't really plan as and when they come in, Chair. Yes. So it's almost contingent on how many we actually get, but we've finalized 100% of those, Chair. Chair, as I said, there's a few additional things I'd like to add there. In terms of the appeals that we received, our number of appeals, the target there is 85%. We've dealt with 95% of the appeals and finalized more than the target. Similarly, in terms of our litigation matters, in terms of PIA, the Promotion of Access to Information, we've received 35 applications that we've also finalized. Also in terms of PIA training, we've held the required, there were 4 that were targeted, we actually have 5. Then in terms of complaints received by our compliance and enforcement section, there we have a target of 90%, we only managed 88%. Then in terms of our administrative enforcement actions resulting in compliance, we had a target there of 75% and we met that one. During that year also, and Zimpo made reference to the yellow bit, we have a draft strategy for compliance enforcement that's still in progress, and that will be finalized during the course of this year. We've also trained officials in terms of the EMI training, 260 officials, our target was 240. In terms of our EIA actual decisions, 76 of those, 76% of those were processed within the time frame. Our target is 75%. Yes, Chair. Then in terms of our legislative program, we've had an extensive legislative program. We finalized 8 bills and took them through the parliamentary process during the course of the year. Not to give you the details unless you want me to, Chair. And then regulations, we've got 1, 2, 3, 6 sets of regulations as well that were finalized during that year. Thank you, Chair.
Are you done?
Yes, Chair. Finally.
Okay. I was thinking, looking at something else. Program 2, key achievements. Unless you have condensed everything in what you said.
Oh, sorry, Chair. This side would be talked to by DDG from New Zealand containing with relates to the rhino issues. And I think Wafi is representing him here, so she'll talk to these issues, Chair.
Fine. Next. We said 5 minutes. Next, that's okay.
Thank you, Chair. So, we will reflect on the rhino issues and the biodiversity conservation. Is that my understanding? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will do a presentation on oceans and coasts. Yes.
It's okay. Continue with program three. Yes. Then he will come in under biodiversity. Fine. We are on the same wavelength.
Thanks very much, Chair.
Thanks
very much. Chair, on the 7th of December of 2015, our cabinet approved of the Ocean Management White Paper. When we were in the cabinet with that paper, a clean paper that we took to cabinet was called the Ocean Perspectives, and it was also approved on the same day. That is the document that gave birth to what we now call Operation Carissa. Second, the implementation plan for the Southern Oceans and Sub-Atlantic Islands Management Strategy was developed. That is a strategy that has to do with the work that the country does in islands such as Marion Islands, Gulf Islands, and Antarctica, which the Director General referred to this morning. Third, we got approval of what is called the National Coastal Management Program. Now, the Coastal Management Program is a framework that determines how we cooperate with provinces and municipalities in management of the coast. And four, while Coast Oil Spill Contingency Plan and the National Oil Spill Contingency Plan were finalized, and a total of 11 out of 25 plans were updated. These are plans that make sure that we don't get caught with our pants down when the oil spills are along the coast, especially along our very, very stormy south coast. Five estuary management plans have been developed. Again, Chair, we may recall that the first got approval for an estuary management protocol on which a number of estuary management plans were based. During that financial year, we developed plans for Mgazi, Mgazana, Fort Bragg, Dafufu, Tukela, and Nahum. We also shared what an African penguin biodiversity management plan approved, as well as a shark biodiversity plan. And this one was approved for public comments. I will just add, Chair, the African penguin are confined to the coast of South Africa. And African penguins are seriously threatened, and it was for that reason that the department moved quickly to develop plans, management plan for it. The normal three relief voyages that we undertake, Sanai, which stands for Antarctica, the Marion Islands, and Gulf Islands, these were undertaken and performed without any problems at all. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, fine. But when we get into discussions, colleagues, that's why I want us to just rush so that we get the impact of what we are talking about. It's nice to say that this was done, but how is the impact for to our people and to the environment we live in and the environment that we are embedded by the Constitution to protect? But then that is where down when we don't understand impact to the life of our people. Next. Yes. also how this link up to the broad vision of the country we arrived at there. How do all this link up to the broad vision of our country? Is it 1 o'clock? Okay. So food is ready outside. Colleagues, let's go out. I stress, but I stress advisedly. Because when we come to discussions, what we are interested in as members of this August House, indeed you might say, this we take, this we take, this we take, this. But what we take, what is the impact of what we take, or what has been the impact of what we take to our people? Until we are clarified on that, you could have ticked your box, but you might have ticked your box not in the interest of our people. We would like to know, how does this relate to improving the lives of our people? Or the environment in your area of work, the environment in which our people find themselves. Thank you very much. So please prepare yourselves for these serious questions as we come back. Let's go and eat. Can we take 30 minutes? Now I'm very flu. That's the one who has caused me to flu. Let's take 30 minutes because we are just there are few of us. We can't be back here. Thank you very much, colleagues.